I think Wiz Khalifa will be there too.
Okay. What was his big song? Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow.
Yep, just like that, Dad.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I want to start by welcoming everybody first, but I want to get right to the nitty-gritty here. Because this is in my craw lately. My neighborhood is awash in golf carts. And I wonder if anybody else has had this problem. It's an epidemic. And first of all, I should point out, I do not live on a golf course. I do not live in a retirement community where half the people don't drive, but they got to get around. I'm in a regular neighborhood, and there's golf carts everywhere, every night. There's like five or six golf carts just strolling through my neighborhood on the street. And I'm wondering, have you experienced this? Does anybody, am I alone in this epidemic?
Not in my neighborhood, but I do have some questions for you. Is there a community pool in your neighborhood anywhere nearby?
No.
Okay, so they're not like riding to that. That could make sense to me. My sister-in-law's neighborhood, they've got a central area, you know, a community pool for the HOA.
Right.
And a lot of people will ride their golf carts back and forth to there. That makes a little more sense.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like it makes any sense for your neighborhood. Now, it can't be street legal, I don't think.
Well, technically it is not. But again, okay. I don't know whether...
Or maybe, you know, it could be if a moped's legal.
Well... I don't think a moped is legal on the street, but what is the street exactly? Does that mean like a highway? Does it mean like a main road where the speed limit is 40?
A moped is legal on the highway anywhere as long as it doesn't go above, I think, 35 miles an hour. You can drive it without a license.
Okay.
But because did you know, I think this is true, you can get pulled over for speeding on a bicycle.
What?
If you are breaking the speed limit on a bike, I think
you could
theoretically get pulled over. I'm not sure. If you've been pulled over for speeding on a bicycle, I want to hear about it. And I need receipts. I need to know that it's true. Give me your mugshot, whatever.
Now there's electric bikes.
Right.
Like now I see bikes flying down my street. You know, like you're not being pedaled, but just like a motorized bicycles. It's crazy what's going on here. And look, if you're not on a golf course, I don't want to see you in a golf cart. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a curmudgeon, but what are you doing?
What's the closest golf course to your house? How far of a drive is it?
It's probably 3 miles, 2-3 miles.
That's too far for your golf cart. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that makes no sense, Greg. I'm with you for your neighborhood. I've been in your neighborhood. There's no need for golf carts there. That's weird.
And they're just, in defense of the golf carters, you know, they're driving slowly and casually. They're, you know, the dog is in the back and, you know, they're just having a good time. But it's just, I don't know, it strikes me as a little bit weird.
But it makes no sense for your neighborhood. There's no central gathering place
right.
where their whole neighborhood could just ride their golf carts to right. instead of getting in their cars.
And I'm on a cul-de-sac, so they're driving by my house, and then 30 seconds later...
You can't hear them over the loud roar of your Corvette. You're going to back over them one day.
Well, mostly it's my music in the garage. That's probably why they're driving by, because they enjoy my selection of music. But
local golf cart union comes by to check out the Cody's tunes.
That's right. I'm the one who needs to play more golf. And these people are in a golf cart more than I am. And I play golf, which is that's probably why I'm frustrated. But another thing I want to mention real quick, because this happened just the other night. I'm a chopstick user. Okay. And I should start a Chopsticks Anonymous for people who use chopsticks and get berated and questioned and mocked. I'm tired of justifying why I'm using a chopstick because the fork.
Wait. Let me guess. Yeah. You and Arlene went out and you were taking too long to eat. And she's like, why are you fiddling with the chopsticks?
Well, I didn't think I was taking too long. I eat as fast with chopsticks as she does with a fork, you know, or a knife, a fork and knife. I mean, I do use a knife to cut things that are too big, but I'm a chopsticker, you know, and I'm constantly being mocked. You know, use your fork, but leave me alone. I don't. Are you a chopsticker or a forker?
I am, depending on the mood that I'm in and how much time we have. Because I'm slow with them, but yeah, I use them as long as I'm not. If I'm feeling kind of crummy, I'll just go with a fork or spoon or whatever. But like, yeah, my normal mood, like my wife and I tomorrow night, we're going to eat Korean,
right?
And they'll provide us some chopsticks, and I will probably use the chopsticks.
I think in an Asian restaurant, I think it really does enhance the experience. And honestly, I appreciate it for, you know, it exercises my digital dexterity. You know, I enjoy that.
Which is good for your brain and everything.
Yes,
as you are aging, it helps keep things good for you, right?
That's right. So anyway, but the people who, look, using a chopstick is not a skill, okay? Playing the piano is a skill. Speaking a second language is a skill. Using a chopstick is something that anybody can basically learn by doing it a few times, trial and error. And so for people to act like, oh, look at this guy, hoity-toity, using a chopstick, you know, like it's a big-ass deal. It's not a big deal. Just let me use my chopstick.
So Erlene won't chopstick it?
No, God. She is virulently anti-chopstick.
Wow.
Well, the running joke in my house is that I always offer her the chopstick, knowing that she will not take it. And she doesn't get the joke. She doesn't get the show. So she's mad at me for offering her the chopstick. Just let me use my fork, you know. So it's a funny dynamic.
What about Chris? Is Chris a chopsticker?
No, nobody is in my family.
Wow. So it's just you, huh?
Yeah, just me.
I bet Michael doesn't let you live that down at all. I'm sure he's...
No, they, you know, and you know, my crowd, I mean, they all rag me about it and everything. And it's like, they see, the thing that annoys me is that if you're a chopsticker, you're seen by others as showing off.
Right.
I'm not showing off. I'm just using chopsticks.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah, I was very much against it until I got married and my wife showed me how, and I was like, oh, this is fun.
And there's also a skill process to it. Like anybody can pick up a little piece of meat, but you know, rice is tougher.
Rice and getting the noodles, if you want to get a nice little noodle wrap around.
That's, yeah, right. Yeah. But you know, the rice is particularly, you know, challenging, but I think that's part of the skill of it and the fun in it actually is to pick up different things. But anyway. Hey, what'd you do for Valentine's Day, by the way?
So Valentine's, I got in trouble with my son and because of that with my wife. So I don't do a ton for Valentine's Day, but I do like to do something. And I do something for my kids as well. My niece moved in with us recently, so I did something for her as well. Just got them all like, I got my niece and my daughter and my wife flowers, got my wife the biggest set and, you know, and then smaller bouquets for my niece and my daughter. Wrote them a little card and I got my wife some earbuds and I got little, you know, stuffed animals for my niece and my daughter. My son, he does enjoy stuffed animals still. He's 9 and he likes snuggling with them in his bed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he, and I got them all chocolate. So I got my son some chocolate, didn't get him flowers, but I wrote him a card. And instead of a stuffed animal though, because he doesn't talk to me about stuffed animals, that's not on my mind when I think of him. I know he enjoys them, but he talks to me about Legos, Minecraft, Star Wars, comic book movies and shows, and especially the comic book movies and shows. Okay. So I found same price as the stuffed animals. And he talks about cars. He loves cars. He collects these cars that we can get at Kroger. He likes in these little diecast cars. They're bigger than Hot Wheels, but I found this Doctor Strange Hot Wheels car. I was like, he might really like this. So I got that. Well, apparently he came downstairs and I hide everything because I love a good surprise. Even though they know it's coming, they don't know. I hide it all in the garage. I get the stuff out of the garage. I put it in. I guess I get up for work at 5 these days. And so about 5:30 in the morning, I'm bringing stuff in from the garage, getting it set up on our center island in our kitchen so they can come downstairs and see something nice. Well, my wife comes downstairs and he is playing with my niece's stuffed animal. He saw that and thought it was for him. He didn't
get
the card. And she was like, oh no. And when she told him it wasn't his, he was so sad.
Really?
Like, he was mad at me. He was sad because he wanted this. Because it was, you know, like about a 6-inch tall toy. And his Hot Wheels car is, you know, the size of a Hot Wheels car.
Right.
And I guess size matters. I don't know. Yeah. Because I think he got his hopes up. All he saw was this little car. So he tried to hold it in, and that night I find him hiding under a blanket crying.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what's wrong? He's like, I'm afraid to tell you because you'll be mad at me.
Oh.
And I was like, no, man, you can tell me anything. And he was like, you know how sometimes people do things without thinking about them?
Oh God.
And I was like, dude, did you break something? You know, it's okay if you did, just tell me what happened. Well, you didn't really think about me when you got me that car.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, oh, man.
Wow, what a guilt trip.
Come on. and so I'm trying to talk to him. And so I got him with this. I said, Wilco, you know whose dad never got him anything for Valentine's Day? Mine. because dads didn't do that for their sons back then. And right. Then I said, you know whose dad can't get him anything for Valentine's Day? Mine, because he's dead.
You played the death card. I like it. And my dad's gone. I like that. Yes.
He didn't laugh. I did. He did
okay.
not.
Okay. Yeah, I would have laughed at that. Sure.
Oh, so like it was, I think he's okay now, but it was pretty dramatic. I'm like, really? I didn't think for Valentine's Day, I'd be stepping in it because I didn't do the right thing for my son. But
right. Yeah. Well,
I try to always get him something nice and cool. And this year I just failed at it. And so we go out on either the weekend before or the weekend after. Jane and I are going out tomorrow night.
Oh, so. Cool. Okay. Yeah, we just stayed. We stayed at home. I made ribeye steaks and lobster tails, and we had, which we don't often do. We had champagne and wine, so that was a big night in the Cody household. For sure. Wow. Woo, man.
Do you feel that the pressure for Valentine's Day is more on the men than it is on the women?
Yes, I think so. Yeah,
because I'm not even complaining, but it is there is a disparity there.
It's a romantic holiday, and you know, we're like I do send her a dozen roses every year, and you know, but in our case, you know, Christmas comes and then our anniversary is in January, so it seems like 1, 2, 3, you know, one after another. So we don't buy each other a gift per se. I mean, I send her flowers and she gives me chocolates or whatever, but
yeah,
mostly we just either home or in restaurant, we just go out for a super nice meal. So anyway, I hope you all out there had a great Valentine's and happy, yeah. Happy.
And hopefully you didn't make your sons angry.
That's right. Well, that's, I tell you, gift giving is, there's pressure there to give.
There is, especially with me, because I don't want to talk to them about it beforehand. I want to pay attention throughout the year to things they talk about or things that, you know, things right. that I notice that maybe they need or say they want, but they never get for themselves. And I try to take note of that and build a gift around that and surprise right. them, because to me, the surprise is everything. You could basically get away with not getting me anything as long as I get a good surprise out of what I'm giving to you. And that's a big deal to me. And if you're going to give me a gift, surprise me about it. Don't talk to me about it. Pay attention like I'm trying to do.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. And then, no, I agree.
My wife will talk to my son. What do you want for your birthday? Okay, we'll get you that. I'm like, come on.
I know.
Leave some mystery.
Yeah.
Let some magic happen.
I have to admit, my wife and I, pre-Christmas, we do exchange lists so that there's a fundamental, this is the five things I'd like, this is the five things you'd like, but you got to do something other than that. You know, you just do. I want to have a couple of quick housekeeping things here just to tidy up things I said last week, which I often do. I make mistakes and blah, blah, blah. I was saying last week in the episode that LeBron's Miami Heat years had zero representation in Nike's tribute video, congratulating him on the all-time scoring record. Well, I had to watch it a few more times to notice a blur of a glimpse of LeBron in a white-hot Heat playoff t-shirt. So I was wrong.
Not even the jersey, just the t-shirt?
Yes, so I was wrong. There was not zero representation. There actually was about literally 1/5 of a second representing LeBron's four Miami years. I also want to mention real quick, we mentioned a lot about Zach Thomas making the Hall of Fame last week, and I was on the Dolphins podcast Fish Tank this week to talk about Zach for an upcoming episode of theirs. So listen out for that and support our friends OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt over there at Fish Tank. And finally, in terms of housekeeping, I'm going to be on Levitard Show Wednesday this week instead of Tuesday, so that Tuesday I can write from the first day of Marlins full squad spring training. People think that when football ends down here, everything ends, but baseball's starting, MLS soccer is starting, so it's exciting.
Now, will you be on site for the first day of spring training?
Yes, yes. We're going to Jupiter, so I'll be flying to another planet. Jupiter is actually a weird name for a city that's like 2 hours north of Miami, so I'll be driving up for that. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Should we expect not expect a Back in My Day then, because it'll be a Wednesday?
No, I you know, Back in My Day is sponsored by GNC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I am doing a Back in My Day on Wednesday. I will have one.
Okay, stay tuned, folks.
Yeah, I have one in mind. It's a really weird, maybe the weirdest one I've ever done, if I end up doing that. So I will be doing one Wednesday. A quick RIP. Now, this is Christopher last week on the broadcast, and maybe we'll still hear from Christopher at some point in this podcast. He is in Salt Lake City at the NBA All-Star Game. We sent him there on our own dime. That's right. He's there representing the Greg Cody Show podcast, even though technically he's there representing the Levitard Show. But still, we hope to hear from him. And if we don't, I'll just yell at him next week. But he made fun of me last week for always mentioning like really old people on my podcast, old celebrities that nobody else has ever heard of. So in keeping with that, Gina Lola Brigida died recently. And now we have lost Raquel Welch. Well, these are women from the bombshell era, where sexism still had the reins.
So yesterday.
And voluptuous women as sex symbols, that's right, were a thing. That was really a thing. I mean, Hugh Hefner was the godfather of it all. And now I am not longing for those days. I'm simply marking their demise. And there was actually a phrase from that era when a wolfish man would see a voluptuous woman walking by, and he would go, va-va-va-voom. That's right. That was actually a thing. Va-va-va-voom.
This is catcalling in the 1950s, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so Raquel Welch, is that name, Yeti, you may be old enough to remember Raquel Welch, no?
No, what's funny is it's a name I've heard plenty of times, but and I don't know why my brain went to this, but I pictured her more as like... I didn't picture as like the bombshell pinup like that style from that era. I didn't.
Right.
I don't know why I pictured her as looking different. I pictured her more as like for some reason I associated her with like Laugh-In or some quirky comedy person.
Right.
And I don't know why, but when I saw her, I was like, oh dear, I had it all wrong. Wow.
All right.
She was quite gorgeous, Greg.
Yes, quite gorgeous. That's right.
But I didn't know. I for some reason always associated her with being more the quirky, you know, goofy type.
No, she was definitely in the bombshell era voluptuousness category.
Rest in peace, Raquel Welch.
Yeah, indeed. And a good actress, by the way. The trouble with being a bombshell, quote unquote, is that you're taken for granted, I think, for anything but your physical appearance, which is always sad then and now. So
that's actually that's one of my favorite songs, probably top three favorite songs from Dolly Parton is Dumb Blonde.
Yeah.
How she plays on that whole, you know, you look at my image, you probably discount the way I look, you know, but just because I'm blonde don't mean I'm dumb, because this old blonde ain't nobody's fool.
Right.
That song is when I fell in love with her. When I heard that song, I was like, she is the greatest person to have ever lived. That song is brilliant. Brilliant turn of phrase. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's brilliant. And I'm so glad, you know, she initially rebuffed the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, saying, I'm not a rock and roll artist, but she eventually relented and accepted going in. And that sort of segues to me and the wife seeing Jimmy Buffett the other night.
How many times is this for you?
Oh, I think we've seen him over the years. He's a guy we've seen for decades. Over the years, I would say we've seen him at least 10 or a dozen times, but not for a while.
She's a bigger fan than you are, right?
Yeah, I would say so. But I like him. Make no mistake. Now, a couple of years ago, the pandemic was like at its height. Like artists weren't touring. And so I reached out to Jimmy Buffett's people, quote unquote, mm-hmm. to try to get him on the podcast, just as a long shot. The Miami Herald music critic, Howard Cohen, was kind enough to give me a contact for him. And I reached out to his contact and she got back to me. Very kind woman, got back to me again and said, Jimmy will not be able to do it at this time. Now, did not surprise me, by the way. He's a pretty big star. So normally when I try to get a guest on the podcast and they rebuff me, I am publicly polite, but privately they're dead to me. Okay. Now, in Jimmy Buffett's case, I have admired him and enjoyed him so much for so long that I want to say right here and now, despite you not being on my podcast, Jimmy, I've loved you for a long time. You're 76 years old now. God bless you. You're still great in your live performance. And I want to say this. You should be in the Hall of Fame. Jimmy Buffett needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It shocked me when I first heard that. He has been eligible since 1996, and here's the kicker. He has never even been nominated. He has never even been a finalist to be voted on. And wow. It's just crazy because, you know, his following, I think it's the Parrot Heads, his super fans call themselves. I think that's comparable to the Grateful Dead and the Deadheads. And the idea that you have a massive, hugely passionate following that just follows you all over the country and has for decades and will as long as you live. And he's written some great songs. I think Jimmy, I don't know how keen you are on his music, but, you know, he has a reputation for being a little clownish, you know, party songs. And
right.
To this day, he's on stage barefoot performing, you know, so he's definitely encourages a party vibe. And for that reason, I think he's taken lightly a little bit because he's a great songwriter. You know, Come Monday, Margaritaville is a great song. A Pirate Looks at 40. He has
what's his song? Lovely Cruise?
Oh, that's yeah. Oh my
that's
God.
That's a big one for me.
Oh right? My yeah. God. I listened to Lovely Cruise so much last year that Spotify gives you don't even ask for it. They give you the 100 songs you listen to most. And mine were all like ancient songs. Like, you know, one was Mashed Potato by Dee Dee Sharp and another was Lovely Cruise by Jimmy Buffett. I don't think there was anything in the last 20 years. Anyway, I am such a fan and an admirer of Jimmy Buffett. And you could also make an argument for him in the Country Music Hall of Fame, quite frankly, because a lot of his songwriting style and his voice has a country tinge to it. And he's been a huge influence in their own words for guys like Kenny Chesney and Zac Brown and others. So he's had a great and people used to say, well, he's not really a rock and roll thing, not really a rocker. But Dolly Parton isn't either. She got in. I mean, Jimmy Buffett needs to get in. And I don't know what the issue is there.
I wonder if some of the crossover stuff does it. Is Kenny Chesney in the Country Music Hall of Fame yet?
I don't know.
It would be weird to see him get in and not Jimmy Buffett because all he's trying to be is Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, totally. Yes.
So that would be interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely the, you know, feet in the sand and a beer in your hand and, you know, the Jimmy Buffett guy. But I think Jimmy Buffett is so talented beyond his party persona that he just needs to be rewarded for the career he's had and having. Yeah. He's still great.
I'm not a Buffett fan, but I think he should probably make it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well.
Right.
I'm surprised with that.
So. Yeah, I totally
agree. We should take a break right here. And then on the backside, we've got Three Facts Jack, Dad Joke of the Week, some stuff about the All-Star Game, and more.
All right. All right, again, if you all like Jimmy Buffett as much as I do, look up the email for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm too lazy to give it to you here, so look it up and inundate them with texts and messages saying Jimmy needs to be in the Hall of Fame, because he really does. Come on. And we're still waiting, by the way, on Christopher in Salt Lake City to call us.
All right, so dad joke?
Yeah. You know what? What do you call a bear with no teeth?
I don't know, Greg. What do you call a bear with no teeth?
Well, you mimicked it, but you didn't say it. A gummy bear.
Oh, gummy bear.
Yes.
I like that. I like that a lot.
You did the impression, but you didn't come up with the words.
Food stuff, like whether it's in jokes or food is funny.
Yeah.
Whether it's jokes or parody songs, like anything referencing food is going to win. You know,
yeah, that, for sure.
That universal favor.
Who always has a date on Valentine's Day?
February? I don't know.
A calendar.
A calendar. Ah, okay. I was in the right mindset, right. But wrong words. Gotcha.
Okay. And finally, why was the pickle self-conscious?
I don't know.
He wasn't as cool as a cucumber.
I like that one, too. That's good.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if it gets a genuine laugh, then it's a good dad joke.
Yeah, that's
good. If it gets a groan, it's a good dad joke. It just has to get some reaction.
A reaction, right. That was a decent batch. That might be your best, like, batch of three that, like, collectively.
Yeah.
There might have been some that are better overall jokes, but the other two really drug it down. But that's probably the strongest grouping that you've given us.
Yeah.
I actually have a grouping of dad jokes that our fans sent in. You know, a couple weeks ago, we told people they could go to thegregcodyshow.com. There's a little microphone in the right-hand side, and click that and leave us a little voice message. We had lots of callers, And I'm going to, you know, over the next few weeks, I'll spring as we get, you know, good dad jokes in, I'll sprinkle them. We also had some people call with non-dad jokes, and a couple of them are pretty good. We'll save those for later. But yeah, so anybody else, you are still encouraged. If you've got something funny to say to us, or if you think you can destroy Greg with a better dad joke than the one he's been bringing, you know, reading off the internet.
what?
Go right in.
You mean you don't think I'm making these all up myself? What?
Before you go buy something from our store at shop.thegregcodyshow.com, stop by just thegregcodyshow.com. Bottom right hand corner on your, you can do this on your phone or on your computer. There's a microphone. Click that. It'll take you to a place where you can record us a little message. And, if it's good enough, if it's funny, if it makes me laugh, or if it makes us want to, you know, come at you a little bit, you know, it'll make the show. So I've got a few, and Greg, I'd like to know your thoughts of them. Okay. I'm going to do a little nepotism first because my sister called in. We've actually converted her to listening to the show, by the way.
Nice. Thank you.
She's the only one in my family who does. But
what's your sister's name?
This is my sister, Caitlin.
Caitlin, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Here we go.
Hey there, this is Yeti's sister calling with a follow-up dad joke to the most recent episode. I love the damn joke. Best damn joke I've ever heard.
The fish running into a wall.
Right.
See, after the first fish swam into the wall and said, damn, there was a second fish that was swimming very closely behind it and, you know, got a little ticked off when the first fish came to an abrupt stop, which made him run into the first fish. You know what he said? Dumbass.
You didn't hear it, did you?
No, what did he say?
So, one, you can tell she's my sister considering the lack of brevity.
Well, not only that, but she's calling from a submarine or something. My son Michael is in the same submarine.
Yes, she was literally underwater documenting the fish.
Ridiculous. What was up with that? No, I didn't. Literally did so not hear the punchline.
The one fish, you know, hit his head and said, damn.
Right.
The fish behind him ran into him. What did that fish say?
I don't know.
Dumbass.
Dumbass.
There we go. Yeah. All right. So I will say, all right, so for all the callers, y'all got a lot of fish jokes. My gosh. And I must have had 15 people call in and say, and this one's not never going to make it. Hey, what do you call a fish with no eyes? And, you know, that was funny when I heard it 5 years ago. But when I hear it for the 15th time in the same week, y'all got it. You guys have to bring some strong ones.
Okay.
I thought this is another fish-related one that I thought was pretty good.
What did the fish say when he ran into poo? Bastard.
Okay. It's so awful that it's funny. It's just so bad.
Bastard. His delivery is the best part.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yes.
It's like burping Brad.
Right. And it was Brad. And it was a beautiful recording. It was like he was next door. He might have been next door. In fact, there he is. He's looking at my window right
now.
He's
staring out of your window.
That's right.
All right. Here, we got one more for you. This is actually my favorite out of all of them.
How does the hamburger introduce his wife? Meat patty.
Whoa. Now, wait a minute now. That was funny.
Meat patty was good. Yeah,
that was very good. I want to send that man a free T-shirt.
I'll see if I can. I have his email. I'll track him down.
Okay, that was great.
Yeah, that one caught me off guard because after the 15th, you know, I was like, right. Oh, what's this one going to be?
Meat patty.
That was good. It was good. Once again, though, food takes the cake.
That was yes, exactly. That was really good. Thank you all. I appreciate that. We encourage you to use that little microphone in the bottom corner of our website. And I also would love to receive jingles, songs, parodies, you know, just anything musical.
He's trying to replace me now.
No, but you know, it's fun. It's fun. Come on. Jerry Seinfeld, it's fun.
It's fun. So yeah, we're still waiting on Chris to call in from Salt Lake, but he's there covering the NBA All-Star game. And Greg, in your life, what event have you watched the All-Star game the most out of all of the events, or the skills competition, or dunk contest, or three-point contest?
Okay, the All-Star weekend needs help.
Yeah,
NBA, it needs help. First of all, the three-point contest the league is 3 points now. Like, everybody's shooting 3 points. Like, it's no longer a novelty to shoot from 3 points. So the three-point contest has become outmoded. The dunk contest, everybody dunks. It's no longer a big deal to see people dunk. The game itself, there's never any defense. The score is always 148 to 145.
Which is not too far from some regular season game scores now.
True.
As well.
I'm just not a big fan of all-star games in any sport. The NFL has basically killed the Pro Bowl. They've turned it into a flag game. The NHL can't decide what to do. You know, the MLB, you know, tries to make it important, but
that's my favorite one out of all of them.
Well, the Home Run Derby, I think, has become a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Home Run Derby has become a thing. But
did you grow up watching the Home Run Derby TV series?
No.
They had a whole TV series called Home Run Derby, and they'd play it, I think, on Nickelodeon when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, just getting into baseball, I lived for that. Like, you see Hank Aaron hitting home runs in black and white, you know?
Oh, really? No, I never was hip to that.
Yeah, they would have a whole TV series out of Home Run Derby. But yes, I that spectacle, they've done pretty good at making a good show out of that. But just the overall game, you're at least watching people play baseball. Like, it's hard to play baseball at, you know, 50%.
Right.
You kind of have to really play the game.
Well, I make fun of the Home Run Derby because you have people throwing 40-mile-an-hour strikes right over the plate.
Right.
You might as well use a tee. It's like T-ball. I mean, naturally, you're going to – these – Aaron – wow, what a surprise. Aaron Judge can hit 15 home runs in a row off a guy throwing 40-mile-an-hour meatballs right down the center of the plate. What is the challenge there? You know, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, you can't say, you know, well, let's let them face live pitching because then that's just a baseball game.
Right.
You know?
True.
But and we'll see nobody hit anything over you know, people hit two home runs and a bunch of, you know, foul balls.
Right.
But overall, I like that. But growing as a kid, the dunk contest was the big thing for me. I never even watched that many All-Star games as a kid.
Right.
But I certainly don't watch the game now. It has no interest for me in the NBA All-Star game. But the skills competition is kind of cool, but it doesn't have the pizzazz and the flash that makes me want to tune in. Same with three-point contest, as you said. But the dunk contest, that was the premier event for me as a kid. And, you know, that's when the shoe thing started really exploding. Michael Jordan was on his game. We had that incredible one with Jordan and Dominique and those iconic moments. I had the free throw line poster, you know, Jordan dunking from the free throw line. That was one of the few posters on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big thing for me. But now I have a hard time even getting excited for that.
Yeah, it needs to be changed. I don't know how, but
what could we do to save it, Greg?
Eliminate it? No, I'm just kidding. I'm being cynical.
Hold on. If you love something, let it go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, clearly, dunking is not a big deal, right?
Right.
Like everybody dunks. The 5'10" guard can dunk the ball. You know, like what is. What is the art or the skill of dunking when everybody can do it all over the field, all over the court? Everybody can dunk the basketball. So here's what we need to do. What would you suggest, Yeti?
All right. Well, so let me talk about under the current state. What I always loved about Michael Jordan jumping to dunk the ball was he's tall. He's 6'6". Okay, that's tall. But you still need some air to really, you know, to really throw it down. So his dunks would, I mean, you'd see a bunch of air under his feet, and it's prettier. It's awesome.
Right.
Look, Spud Webb dunking the ball was one of the, his vertical on that was so impressive.
Yeah.
That to me is so much more exciting than someone who can jump 2 inches and just throw it in.
Webbing it.
Yeah. So I want to see people get air. Okay. I want to see The spins and stuff are really cool, but if it looks like you're barely getting to the basket to get it in, yes, the dunk counts. But I want to see air. I want to see hang time. Hang time, working together. All right, sorry. I had to indulge me from a TV show from my teenage years. Hang time, putting it on the line.
I have no idea what that means.
I probably got the name or the lyrics wrong, but that doesn't matter. But I will say the one from 7 years ago, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. That had some really, really great stuff to it, because Aaron Gordon, as tall as he is and easily as he can dunk, he did some moves where, like, he got his legs all the way up in there. He was taking the ball not through the legs and dunking, but he was actually taking it under his legs and dunking, and then over a mascot and under his legs and dunking.
Right.
That was impressive, because there was big air. There was in snowboarding, they call it amplitude, like in the Olympics. They give you points for amplitude, and I think we need to see that. So do we raise the rims for the dunk contest? Make them 12 feet or 11 even? 11 and a half feet?
I don't know, that's a good idea.
A reasonable...
Who was the guy who jumped over the car? There was somebody who jumped over a small car to dunk the ball.
Was it Blake Griffin?
It was Blake Griffin, I think. That's what you need. You know, you need 12-foot rims. You need small cars. I'll tell you what killed the dunk contest was at arenas across the NBA now. As a halftime show, you see these acrobats on the small trampolines.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Mascots, yeah.
And mascots even. And they're jumping off small trampolines. They're doing backflips. They're dunking the ball. And it's like, I'm just not that enthralled by the dunk. But
yeah, it's not as special as it used to be.
Right.
And I want to see, I need points for how hard you throw it down, because it gets considered, it counts if you're able to dunk the ball in. But like,
right.
I need to, you know, you need to be able to put that thing down with some authority,
right,
to impress me. And look, Chris Cody's joining.
I want to see a layup contest. I want to pick the dullest.
You want to see a layup contest?
That's right. I want to pick the dullest play in the NBA. Look at Chris Cody. He's dressed warm. Is it cold there? I didn't even consider the weather.
Yeah, it's in the 30s right now.
Wow. That is so great. Look at you. Got the reflector shades on.
Well, speaking of dunking, I saw a video this week of Chris teaching his daughter how to dunk a chicken wing.
Yeah.
How to prevent the dribbles.
You got to play the drip. Like when you dip a chicken tender in some ranch, these kids these days, they want to go directly from the ranch into the mouth without any hesitation.
No.
What you do is you lift the chicken tender above the ranch and you play the drip. The drips have notes. It's usually boop, 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 and then it slows down.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you got to play the drip. Wait till you've got a good rhythm for a feel for what the rhythm is. And then you take your bite accordingly.
That is Dunking 101 with Chris Cody. All right. Yeah. So how's Salt Lake so far?
It's good. There's snow right here.
Oh, wow. That is super cool. Look at you, city boy.
Yeah, this reminds me of the last time when I was in Buffalo, my phone just died.
Yeah. Have you arranged that again? So you only have to do this for a minute, or how does that work?
I do have a little juice in my phone, but I do need to go soon because we have a rehearsal soon for our live show. We're recording this on Friday and we are going live at 6 p.m. local time here, so 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Exciting. Tubing
it, so be sure to tune into that 2 days, 3 days prior to you listening to this.
That's right. So what's been the most fun thing so far?
We went bobsledding yesterday.
Cool.
We did like the NBA experience thing today, you know, playing games and stuff, shooting hoops.
Cool.
But, you know, Salt Lake City is, you know, these mountains help a lot. Like if they didn't have these beautiful mountains in the background, I don't know if I would love this place, but,
Well, Chris, there's a reason I never moved back.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little dreary. Not that exciting. But you know, I'm still having fun. I like to see new places. I'm happy I'm here. I've been asking everyone from here, like, what do we eat here? What's the thing? And everyone's just like, we don't have anything.
Yeah. What is the thing?
No, there's not. There's not. Chris. Okay. No, Greg, let me tell you.
Funeral potatoes is all I've got.
What does that mean? What does that even mean? They're shaped like a casket.
It's basically like a hash brown with cheese and sour cream, but like they serve it as like side dishes. I don't know. That's like the only thing that seems to be only here.
You know what the state food is in Utah, Greg?
Funeral potatoes?
No, it's Jell-O.
What?
It's Jell-O. And I ate at several places. For those who don't know, I served as a missionary for my church, and instead of sending me to, you know, 22 years ago, instead of sending me to Argentina or Brazil or Russia, they sent me to Salt Lake City.
Huh.
And so these people, they feed you all the time, and they fed us Jell-O, but instead of it being like, you know, a sweet Jell-O, they put it on a garnish of lettuce and have beef inside of it.
Whoa.
Or this 90-year-old couple gave me orange Jell-O instead of having mandarin oranges. There were onions inside of it.
Oh, my God.
It's like, no, it's terrible. Chris, I was telling Juju this last night. I'm like, the food's terrible there. I said, this lady told me one time, you're from the South. I'm going to make you fried chicken. And I was so excited because I was away from home for the first time and I was going to get fried chicken. And I walk into her house and she pulls chicken out of the oven. And I was like, you don't put fried chicken in the oven. People go to hell for less than this, you know? And it was shake and bake. It was corn flake chicken. And that's not fried chicken. That's baked chicken. And it was dry and it was terrible. And I was so upset.
So it was breaded chicken is what else she was saying.
Yes, yes. And that's she called it fried and got my hopes up. I was very, very upset. But Chris, there's also a restaurant. Greg, you tell me if this sounds like a place you want to eat. Chuck-a-rama. Does that
is that like Chuck E. Cheese?
No, it's their version of Golden Corral. It's like they and the locals love it. They're like, yeah. Oh, you want to go to Chuck-a-rama?
Yeah, let's all hate that. Let's all hate that.
No, no, you'll get dysentery and die on the Oregon Trail. So, Chris, stay away from Chuck-a-rama, or unless you're serving a grid of death punishment.
Noted.
Christopher, have you met any NBA players, any All Stars?
Not really. We're gonna be doing that stuff like sit up tomorrow. We're going to some DraftKings party tonight that is supposed to have a cool guest list.
Name drop for me.
I think Fat Joe's performing, and I think
your friend
like Wiz Khalifa. I think Wiz. Wow, that's a good joke. Actually, that's really good.
Thank you. It better be, because I'm in trouble with Joe now.
No, but I think Wiz Khalifa will be there too.
Okay.
But yeah.
What was his big song? Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Whoa.
Yep, just like that, Dad. Just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, I gotta go though because it's cold out here. I'm leaving.
All right. Bye, nice Chris. Nice chatting with you.
Chris Cody from Salt Lake City.
I went to Salt Lake City once in my life. I was covering UM at the time, University of Miami football, and they played Brigham Young. And so flew into Salt Lake City. And I remember, you know, usually when I go to a new city for the first time, the way I judge it is this a place I could imagine living? Or is this a place I could imagine coming back to for a vacation? And Salt Lake City got a big no on both of those.
On both?
Yes, on both. It might have gotten a yes on, could I see myself coming back if I skied? Mm-hmm. Like that's a, you know, I'm not a snow skier, so... You know, but good luck, SLC, Salt Lake City. That is, it's sort of cool for me to see Christopher being sent on the road to major sporting events like this by Meadowlark or Levitard Show or, I was pretending we sent him on our dime. Damn it. Okay.
Either way, he gets to go. Does it remind you of your early days as a reporter?
Well, it does. And for like 20 plus years of my career, I traveled a lot. I mean, I've like Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere, man. But now Christopher is actually traveling for work-related reasons to sporting events more than I am, which is a mind blower.
Furthest away you've traveled for a sporting event to cover for work outside of the Olympics? Outside of the Olympics.
Oh, outside of the Olympics.
Because you went to Barcelona, right? Was that the furthest?
Right. Yeah, definitely Barcelona. Other than the Olympics, into Canada, I've been. Okay. You know, West Coast. I mean, all over the country. So
very good. Well, should we get up, catch up with three? We're getting close to the end of the episode. Should we burn out a Three Facts Jack?
Yeah, let's do. And I'll tell you what, Three Facts Jack. I think we introduced a couple of months ago or something.
Probably about 6 or 7 months ago.
Oh wow, really? Time flies. Yeah. I really like it because even at my age, there are things you learn every day, every week. You know, there's just something to. Life is constantly about learning new stuff, even if it's just a trivial little fact. I really enjoy that. And so if I'm bringing you all things that you didn't know, that I didn't know until this week, then I'm happy to do that because I try to pick stuff that's a little bit interesting anyway. So
I agree with that. Here we go. There are three things that interest him. So sit right back for Three Facts, Jack.
Number three. Most might guess Egypt has the most pyramids in the world, but it's 138 still standing, only ranked second. The capital of pyramids is the neighbor that shares roughly 800 miles of border with Egypt and has an estimated 220 pyramids itself, Sudan.
Wow.
How about that?
Now I wish Amin was able to join us from All-Star Weekend. We could have asked him about that.
That's right.
I didn't. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Apparently the pyramids in Sudan tend to be smaller but mm-hmm. taller.
I was going to guess maybe Peru or even Mexico.
Yes, I think Mexico. When I was researching this, Mexico, Peru, we're definitely on the list of like where pyramids actually exist, because there aren't that many countries where they even do. Number two, why is the hot dog called the hot dog? The essential, iconic, all-American food originated in Germany, and German immigrants brought the food to New York in the 1860s, and as street vendors, they would sell them as Dachshund sausages after the long and skinny dogs they resembled. The American shorthand for Dachshund sausages became hot dogs, and it stuck. How about that?
Wish I had $1 million. Hot dog!
Hot dog! Hot dog!
Salute to our friend, the hot dog guy in Savannah.
Number one. I don't know why this interested me enough to be number one, but a volt is a unit of measurement of electromotive force commonly used in reference to battery power. But where did the word volt come from? Well, I found out that the electric battery was invented in 1800 by an Italian physicist named Alessandro Volta. That's right, the inventor of the battery named voltage in his own honor.
I like it.
Yep. And that's three facts, Jack.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Yeah.
So, Greg, before we close out, you know, there's been some chatter about your horse ownership, and Chris gave you a little crap last week about not realizing that the funniest name for your horse would be Greg Cody. As awesome of a name as Random Evidence is,
right?
Just norming it Greg Cody is the funnier option and should really be the one you go if you were to get another one.
Okay.
But I mean, look, Clark has ownership stake in five. Who's to say we couldn't make multiple?
That's true.
But we had some listeners, Corey Stanfield, send out his top five. And I do have to get Corey, if you're going to send a list to something about the Greg Cody Show, you should probably do it in Mount Gregmore format.
Ooh, I like it.
However, you did notice something cool that no one else had noticed before, including us on the show. You actually have a lot of catchphrases or things from you know, this show or your reputation on Lebedard that would make really good horse names. So he ranked his top five horse names that are Cody related.
Okay.
So number five, he called Three Facts Jack.
Mm.
Not bad. The hard network out is another pretty good name. You know,
all right.
He said just Gregmore, but I would call one Mount Gregmore. I think I would put them out.
Okay.
There. And then you never know. That's not bad. Okay. I'd probably rank it lower than two, but that's still, you know, you never know is coming around the final bend. And then his number one is Zagaki.
Wow.
But all of those would, you know, make pretty fun horse names, you know.
They're not bad.
But someone else said OLI, that kind of thing. Tyler McPherson said that kind of thing would be, that's another great one.
That kind of thing down the home stretch.
Your whole persona is built around great racehorse names, I know. My opinion.
It's almost like I planned it that way.
And then I joked around, said Nelly's Diner, but then our friend John, he actually said Naylee's Diner. There we go.
Okay.
What if we did this, Greg? Fans of the show, you could all pull your money together and start your own like little horse collective, and maybe you could purchase stakes and race horses too, and you know, name them after fun things from the show. You know, what about that? You know,
there you go. They don't want to spend money.
if we don't have to spend money, or you buy enough of the horse that then Greg can, you know, jump in with like $500 for naming rights or something.
There you go. I would do that. I would do that. I'm still pulling for Random Evidence, but I have to admit, some of those names suggested, like Zagaki, is not a bad name. Yeah, that's not bad.
They're strong candidates. They all would be great.
Zagaki, yeah. Down the home stretch. No, it's pretty good. They're not bad.
All right, so when does Calmly first run?
In June. I don't know the exact date.
That's the Chantilly?
Yeah, the Chantilly. She's broken her maiden already, and she's only run two races and already won one. She's in training right now in France, and you know, high hopes. It's interesting.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Greg. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our episode.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to Christopher for joining us from frigid Salt Lake City for a short bomb in. And thank you all every week. Really appreciate you coming back every week. Tell your friends if you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, keep it to yourself. And we appreciate you. And and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
you had to shout out one of your show phrases, if you were only able to shout out one thing in bed, which one would it be?
You never know.